Welcome to this latest edition of the Real Deal Podcast. We are recording this on a Sunday, May 20th, 2018, about 6:46 in the evening. So for my blog talk audience, you will be able to listen to this podcast probably sometime tomorrow morning, early afternoon. But again, right now we are on YouTube and YouTube only. I'll put this on Blog Talk Radio tomorrow on this as we get ready for a game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. And hopefully at some point during these conference finals, we get a game, a competitive game in, say, the last 5 minutes, or maybe even say the last, you know, even the fourth quarter. Last night you saw Cleveland do what probably most of us expected them to do, and that was to come back, get a little home cooking, and take out the Celtics in game 3, 116-86. This game was, you know, never in doubt. Cleveland had about six guys in double figures, led by, of course, LeBron James, who I thought pound for pound had his best game of the playoffs, not just this series, but of the playoffs, considering everything he did. Forget about the points. His defense alone, he was all over the place defensively with the blocks, with the rotations, with the just all over the place. I thought his all-around performance was the best that he's had in these playoffs. I know he's put up some gaudy numbers, but remember, he had a 40-point triple-double in game 2, and they lost by 13 points. This game, and if you look at such things, I don't get too much in it, but he did have a plus-minus of 31. Cleveland made 17 threes. Again, you got some performances. You got a good performance out of George Hill. We got Korver making shots. You had even J.R. Smith appearance as he finally was able to knock down a couple threes. And now the Boston team that has not played well on the road during these playoffs lost 3 games to Milwaukee. Could have easily lost 2 games to Philly. Probably should have lost 2 games to Philly. So we'll see if Boston can get back in this game 4. Before this thing gets back to Boston. If you're Boston, all you have to do is get one game to completely take control of the series. Again, Cleveland, you want to gauge Cleveland. How you gauge Cleveland is how many threes that they're making. That's all you got to look at in terms of the box score, even if you don't look at the game. How many threes? If Cleveland's making threes, they become dangerous. If they're not making threes, they have a tough time of scoring the basketball if they're not making three-point shots. So LeBron gets help. Boston basically show up, and Cleveland closes the series to two games to one. As far as tonight goes, you have Golden State looking to get some home cooking of their own, coming off a 22-point loss to Houston. Again, a lot of talking in the last couple of days about Curry and is he healthy, and you know, has Houston finally solved the Golden State riddle? In terms of what they did in game 2. Again, I said this a couple of days ago. I don't buy into the fact that Golden State is still not in control of this series. I don't buy that. I don't buy into that at all. Curry, all the talk about Curry. Curry claims that he's healthy. Steve Kerr believes that he's healthy, that, you know, his struggles are a case of rust and not the knee injury. Not playing competitive basketball basically for the better part of 6 to 8 weeks. So we'll see what happens in game 3. Again, I don't think that Curry and Klay Thompson are not combined for 24 points at home. I expect them to both have big games. I don't expect Houston's role players to play as well. I'm talking in terms of PJ Tucker, Trevor Ariza, guys like that. You can throw in Eric Gordon in that mix. So, again, it's going to come down to me. Can Houston be patient as far as, you know, moving the basketball? Versus isolation versus taking quick shots? That's what, to me, what it's going to come down to. I think, you know, they came out getting those. When you get 68 points out of 3 players, they're not getting 68 points out of Ariza, Gordon and PJ Tucker. That's not going to happen. So this is going to have to be a James Harden, Chris Paul type dominant performance. Chris Paul's played well in this series as so far, even despite the fact that he didn't put up major point numbers. He was in total control of the game as far as controlling the pace, with his passing, his defense, and he needs to have it. I think he's going to need to score the basketball in this game. I think you're going to have to get at least, 50. You're going to get at least, 60 out of the Chris Paul, James Harden backcourt, between 55 and 60 points out of that backcourt. Because, again, I just don't think that the Houston role players are going to show up the way they've showed up in the past in the last game. But with that being said, I still think Golden State will win this game. I think Golden State is still in control of this series, and we'll see what happens in Game 3. Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be on an everyday basis, every other day basis. I get my water here. Eastern Conference playoffs are going to be on an every other game basis. Houston now moving forward. So you'll have Monday. They'll have Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Monday, Wednesday. They'll have a Monday, Wednesday for sure. Friday. If Friday would be Friday, Sunday. So Eastern Conference playoffs in terms of the schedule is going to be every other day. You heard J.R. Smith in the press conference last night talk about how much those 3 days helped, those 3 days off helped Cleveland. So it's going to be very interesting to watch Cleveland in this game for Monday night. They were coming off a short rest. They got some older guys on that team. Their younger players barely play. I mean, those guys, Clarkson and Nance are not playing a lot. Hood's playing a little bit. So it's going to be interesting to watch some of their older players try to recover off of such a short turnaround in a game four. If somebody who's an NBA fan, you just hope that you get a competitive game. The average margin of victory through the first five conference finals games has been 21 points. Which is something that you normally would see, like say in the first round or something. You're not accustomed to seeing that in a conference finals with the four best teams in the league. So we just hope that we get a very good game come tonight and also come tomorrow evening in Cleveland. Today's headlines: you had the Nationals getting swept by the Dodgers. The Nationals. So Nationals lose a series to a Dodgers team that's not that good, a Dodger team that came in and currently is in last place. Dodgers in last place. I can check real quick, or second to last place, 20-26. They've won four. Dodgers won four straight. The Nationals again. Anytime you lose a series, one thing to get swept, but when you lose a series. And two of your two best pitchers pitch with the two best pitchers pitching games three and four or games two and three. It's definitely not wasn't a good weekend for the Nationals, losing games with Scherzer, blowing a Scherzer performance last night with the bullpen and blowing and Strasburg wasn't great today, but he was okay. Pitched certainly well enough for them to win the game. But again, the Nationals right now offensively are struggling. Struggled mightily in this series, especially runners in scoring position. The bullpen was terrible over the course of the last 2 days. The bullpen was a joke, and they hope to get healthy again facing the San Diego Padres come tomorrow. The Nationals again. Who knows what would have happened had they been able to play those games? Those games wouldn't have got rained out with the Yankees. You would like to see that series get played. It was 3-3, six innings. So you don't know how much of an effect that had on this series. But the bottom line is the Nationals get swept by a Dodger team that is again six games under 500 as we speak. In terms of the Capitals, I talked to a Capitals fan today. And he basically, this shows you the state of DC sports and how much they believe in curses and what have you. Capitals fan, this particular fan said they didn't even watch the last two games. Like after game three, where the Capitals were still up 2-1, that they just knew what was coming. Capitals, of course, lost last night to Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay will look to wrap up that series tomorrow evening in DC, at Verizon Center or Capital One. Capital One Arena down in D.C. Listen, We've seen times in sports, especially basketball and baseball, where a team wins the first two games and then loses four straight. It happens more often than not. I can't see the Capitals going out losing four straight games. I think they will win Game Six, and I favor Tampa Bay in Game Seven at home, but I think the Capitals still will be heard from. In a game six, it's not like Tampa Bay is blowing them out. That game last night was a winnable game. Capitals blew some opportunities on some power plays that they could not convert. But I'm not completely thinking. I don't think that the Capitals are finished by any stretch of the imagination. I think they'll get home. I think they'll play well, and I think they will force a game seven. The Vegas Golden Knights advance to the Stanley Cup expansion team in their first year of play. Now, man, they are not a typical expansion team. Okay, they are not a typical expansion team. Let's keep that in mind. But I don't think anybody saw this coming as they take out Winnipeg Jets 4-1. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens in the Stanley Cup. And again, if you're the NHL, to me, the dream Stanley Cup, but the Stanley Cup you wanted was the Washington and Vegas. Versus say Tampa Bay, Winnipeg, Tampa Bay, Vegas would be decent, but you still would want the Capitals, and you still want the Capitals and the Golden Knights. Golden Knights will be kind of like a Cinderella story, even though they had a great regular season and played well throughout the course of the playoffs. And of course, the Capitals, you need the big star as far as Alexander Ovechkin. In terms of Ovechkin, so you want the big star against the Cinderella team. That is what I'm sure the NHL is hoping for in terms of the Stanley Cup. In regards to the Preakness yesterday, you had Justify taking the second leg of the Triple Crown on a rainy, sloppy track, a lot of fog. You can barely even see the race. Justify barely beating out Bravado. It wasn't by a nose, but it was a lot closer than I'm sure than Dwayne Lucas would have expected it to be. I looked at this horse. Now again, the performance in his performance in the Kentucky Derby was much better. But I look at this horse. This does not look like a great horse to me. Now maybe it's because of the wet tracks. He's ran on two wet tracks in back to back in Kentucky Derby and the Preakness. Maybe 3 weeks from yesterday at Belmont. You will see him on a fast track. That Belmont track is a fast track. You will hopefully see the best of him, but I don't think he's going to win the Triple Crown, to be honest with you. I think that those horses who are well rested will be able to catch up with him and really catch up with him. They had, of course, eight horses that did not run the Kentucky Derby will run it at Belmont, and they do that purposely, of course, so they can hopefully wear the leading horse down. That, of course, will be Justified. So they're looking, and again, Belmont is the longest track out of all the tracks, a mile and a half. So that is the longest track. And again, this race will be the toughest race for Justified to win out of both Triple Crown races, because you're going to have some fresh horses, number one, and number two, because of the length of the track. Again, I look at American Pharoah, California Chrome, Big Brown, some of the recent horses that have either come close to winning a Triple Crown, or in the case of American Pharoah, winning a Triple Crown, as much more superior horses than Justify. I don't think Justify, to me, is a big time is a great horse. So I would be surprised if Justify won the Triple Crown at Belmont 3 weeks from again 3 weeks from yesterday. So we'll see what happens. But surely it is always great for the race, for horse racing, when they can have a Triple Crown candidate heading into Belmont as they look for the second Triple Crown winner in 4 years. Of course, we got American Pharoah with the Triple Crown back in 2015, and you're looking at possibly a second one in the last 4 years. Though I don't think that this is a big time horse, but in my opinion, so we'll see what happens. Again, no phone calls. We are strictly on YouTube tonight. No phone calls. I will shift this podcast over to Blog Talk Radio Probably early tomorrow morning, you'll see this air on Blog Talk Radio, so be on the lookout for that. You can always follow me at Real on Twitter at William Gerald, or go to my website, or go to my Instagram page at Rillo.GeraldQuinn. So we'll stay tuned. You can stay tuned for that. Again, you have the NBA tonight, Game 3, Golden State, Houston. Golden State looking to firmly take control of the series and go up 2-1. You saw last night Cleveland stay alive, basically, against the Boston Celtics. Again, no surprise whatsoever, them taking out Boston in a Game 3. Boston, young team, been bad on the road. We'll see if Boston can bounce back tomorrow. There was a rumor, over the weekend, the last couple of days, about Carl Anthony Towns and the idea that apparently Minnesota and Carl Anthony Towns are not happy with each other. And the fact that Carl Anthony Towns could be on the trading block. I'm going to tell you right now, Minnesota trades Carl Anthony Towns. Be one of the dumbest trades that you can ever make if you're a franchise that wants to do anything moving forward. First of all, Carl Anthony Towns perfectly matches up with a team that you're chasing right now in the Western Conference, and that is the Golden State Warriors. Golden State Warriors have no matchup for Carl Anthony Towns with his size, his ability to stretch your defense, rebounding, blocking shots. I understand he was shaky in the playoffs, but again, I have to attribute that to their organization, to Tom Thibodeau, in terms of how he utilized Towns in the playoffs. But again, when you start hearing stuff about when you start hearing things like this, there's some truth to it. Like rumors just don't start up out of anywhere in the NBA. Like we've seen enough big trades in the last couple of years, and enough crazy things happen in the NBA off seasons to have to take stuff like this seriously. When you hear about this, again, it would be the dumbest move that Minnesota could possibly make, to move a guy that's 7 feet, that a 2010 player who's only 22 years old. He hasn't even reached he's barely scratching the surface of how great of a player he can be. So I don't, again, he's still on his rookie deal. I don't know what the deal is between he and Thibodeau, where they're not getting along. But to me, I would fire Thibodeau before I got rid of Carl Anthony Towns if it comes down between the two of them. I mean, let's not make Tom Thibodeau Greg Popovich. So I don't know what the deal with that is, but those rumors definitely are out there, and those rumors are definitely real when they're talking about when you talk about the number of guys that could be possibly moved this summer that are still under contract. And apparently Carl Anthony Towns is one of them. So we're going to see what happens with that. Again, I doubt that that will happen. To me, it makes zero sense that you sign Andrew Wiggins to this mega extension, last summer and trade Carl Anthony Towns. To me, that would make zero sense. But who knows, this is a franchise that passed on Steph Curry twice, though different under different management now, but still, Minnesota has had a history of doing some dumb stuff, so we'll see what happens with that. That's going to wrap it up for this latest edition, this abbreviated edition of the Real Deal Podcast. I will see you soon on Blog Talk Radio as well. So long.